Book of Mark chapter 5 together, the book of Mark chapter 5. And as we're turning to the book of Mark chapter 5, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever had an out of control family situation? Now, I don't know if you've ever had one before. If you haven't, I can guarantee you something that you probably do not want to hear. It is coming. And maybe tonight you are going through it. Maybe you've come out of it. I do not know. But I want to give you some help and hope in the Word of God from Mark chapter 5 tonight through the story of Jesus Christ and one of His miracles. It says in Mark chapter 5, verse number 21, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto Him, and He was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him," saw Jesus, "he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall," what, church? "Live." This evening, though we may have out of control situations, I want you to be reminded, or I want to introduce to you, that our God is not the God of the dead, but our God is the God of the living. Let's pray together. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, as we bow before You tonight, we are thankful that You are the mighty God. And we pray that You would humble our hearts before You. We understand that this life is miserable without You. And as we have You, we still understand that there are some very terrible and horrible things that we can face in this life. But help us to recognize that an out-of-control situation is something that is not out of Your control. But we can have the help and hope given to us that You can equip us with, that will see us through the given scenario. We ask that You would be lifted high tonight, that You would draw us to You, that our attention would be on the Word of God, and that most of all, You would be magnified in this place. We love You, Lord, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people prayed and said, Amen. I want to introduce you to the out-of-control situation. In fact, if you're taking notes, that might be the first point tonight, an introduction to an out-of-control situation. I want you to notice that these are situations that your authority in this life has no power over. Look at what it says in verse number 22. "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue." And I want to remind you that it does not matter how much money you make. It does not matter what position you hold in the community. It does not matter if that is a spiritual position in the community. There are situations that we are going to go through that are out of our control, no matter our popularity and no matter how much we have in the bank account. And this situation in the Scriptures is no different than situations that we can go through. But we are going to find a man in the Bible that even though he had position and even though they knew him by way of popularity, he still found himself going to the only one that could help in his time of need. This is a family situation that his authority could not take care of. And this is a situation where he was moved to seek the Master. Look again at what it says in verse number 22. "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him," saw Jesus, "he fell at his feet and besought him greatly." And as I consider the words of Scripture tonight, I am considering that here is a man that most definitely had a need. Here is a man that was motivated in his need not to try to fix it himself, but to go to the one who could fix it. And this evening, if your issue is something that can be touched by God on this earth, please understand there's one that you can go to find help. There's one that you can go to find the need of the hour met. And just like this man Jairus, that need can be found met at the feet of Jesus. Sometimes in this life, we have not because we ask not. And I want to remind you of the importance of prayer. I want to take you to a very simple prayer request that my wife and I have had recently. It was in the month of May, and we were preaching revival in Creve Coeur, Illinois, just the other side of the river from our home in Peoria. And Sunday morning, somebody gave me a business card church envelope, business card sized envelope, very small. I'd never seen anything like it before. And I took that envelope and said, "Thank you so much," and I put it in my suit pocket. I didn't know if it was cash, a check, or a note. Sometimes it's both. I just put it in my pocket and I went about my business. I forgot about it. Sunday night, I preached that revival meeting and I left that meeting that evening heading home and rejoicing over what God had done. And then the thought dawned on me of that offering envelope. And so I began to look in my suit pocket. It wasn't there. I checked my pants pocket. Not there either. I went to the car like you'd probably do. And I looked underneath the seats in that Prius. And nope, it wasn't there. I went back in and I checked my suit pockets again. It wasn't there. I felt bad. I had lost something that somebody had given to me. So we prayed that night like we do with our little daughter on the stair steps leading up to the second floor. And we prayed for her salvation as we normally do. We pray that she have a love that amazes and a servant's heart. We go through our normal prayers with her. And then we prayed, "Lord, I feel bad. I lost something that somebody gave to me. I don't even know what it was. Would you help us to find it?" The next Monday evening, we're on our way to the revival that night, and I'm praying, "Dear Lord, would you help us find that which was lost?" Aside from the prayers for revival and asking God to meet with us, "Lord, I feel bad." We were in that church that evening, and the ushers were saying, "Hey, preacher, are you waiting for anybody else?" I said, "Well, not specifically, but I want to stand right here and welcome anybody else who might come in late." And they said, "Okay, we're going to shut the doors. We're going to count the people." I said, "All right." The church was buzzing with excitement with the attendance that night. And I was just waiting out there by the top of the steps that led down to the double doors that lead outside. And I see this man come over to the double doors, and he kind of hesitantly pushes one open and looks up at me. And he said, "Hello." I said, "Hi." Then I began to realize he thought I was the pastor. I walked down those steps and said, "I'm not the pastor, I'm the guest preacher." I said my name. He said his. And he said, as he pulled out that offering envelope torn nearly in half with $20 sticking out of it, he says, "I was mowing down the road in my yard and I found this. And I figured I'd return it to the place that's on the envelope." I said, "That was given to me. I lost it somehow yesterday, and I was praying on the way here that God would show me where it was." I said, "Sir, you are an answer to prayer in my life." He said, "Thank you for telling me that." Now, that may not have been a very big deal for you, but that was a big deal for me. And I went up to that pulpit that night super excited because I knew this. I had a request that I brought before God, and God answered that request in my life. And for the child of God in here this evening that has had a great need, and you've prayed, and you've seen God answer, that motivates you for the next time. But maybe there's somebody in here tonight that doesn't know the pleasure of His presence, that doesn't understand that sweet hour prayer, that doesn't know what it's like to enter into the throne room and seek the God of heaven. Can I remind you? Can I tell you tonight that your God is just as much a prayer-answering God as He was in Jeremiah's day, as He was in Abraham's day, as He was in the disciples' day? God wants to hear you pray. As I look at the Scriptures, I find that these are situations where we have exhausted our resources and the only thing that we can do is turn to God. These are situations that drive us to Jesus in full compassion. This man had compassion for his daughter. Now, as I consider how the Lord has blessed us with Lydia Grace, I could not imagine what it was like for this man to understand that his daughter was at her deathbed. And I understand that as we live this life, we face some very horrible things. And that there are people in here who have faced some very horrible things along the lines of death and etc. And as we recognize that this is a portion of life that we all face, we recognize at the same time that Jesus is the hope for the living. And as we move through our situations that weigh us down, we can know that our Redeemer liveth. But as we consider a man whose daughter had not come to that point as of yet, this man went to God, fell on his knees, and this man lifted his voice in prayer to the only one who could help and the only one who could heal. This man was compassionate about what he was about to lose. And friends, maybe tonight we need to become compassionate about the things in our life that we might be about to lose. Maybe it's a financial situation. Maybe it's a family situation. Maybe it's a faith situation. Maybe there are scenarios going on in the church that are not good. I don't know. But let me say this. When we notice that there's something going on that is weighty, something going on that is going to damage, let's be reminded to have compassion over those needs and take them to the Lord. Now here's what I know. I know that this man's daughter meant the world to him, but this man's daughter didn't mean as much to another man because that daughter of Jairus wasn't the other man's daughter. And I know that it's easy to be in church and to hear the prayer requests that people give, and it's easy to let them go in one ear and out the other. But can I encourage you tonight that as a family of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the family that you are as you congregate, learn to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You have opportunity to be there one with another and carry the load together and have compassion in situations of life that are going to happen. These are situations that drive us to Jesus, knowing that Jesus can do something. Look at what it says in verse number 23. He besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed." And notice his faith. "And she," what's it say? "Shall live." You see, here's Jairus coming to Jesus knowing that if Jesus could just get to his situation, "Jesus, if you could just come lay your hands on my daughter, if you could just come into my household, I know that she shall live." And maybe your issue tonight isn't whether or not you believe he can. Maybe you're right along line of Jairus. Maybe you're right there knowing that your God is mighty and your God can do it and your God is more than able. And Lord, if you could just get to my church and lay your hands on it, if you could just get to my house, if you could just get to my financial situation, if you could just get to my physical situation, if you could just lay your hands on it so it's obvious that you have done this, I know that you can. This man is not trying this and trying that. This man is simply going to Jesus, believing that Jesus can do that which Jesus said he would do. That's the introduction to the story that's going on. But let me share this. Number two, we can have situations that catch God's attention. Brother Wright, as I look at the next verse I'm going to introduce to us tonight, the next verse excites me, but it's a verse that you can overlook so easy. catch the story in verse number 24. Here's the phrase that gets me excited when I have an out of control situation. And Jesus went with him. That's it. The simplicity of that phrase. Could you imagine the crowds that are gathered that day around Jesus Christ? Could you imagine all those that were seeking healing, as we know that Jesus would perform so many miracles that the volumes of books, that if they were to be written, the world could not contain them. And Jesus is healing one person after another. And all of a sudden, Jairus steps on the scene. And Jairus gets the attention of the master. And Jairus cries out to Jesus and seeks him greatly. And it had to be greater than the lady over here, the man over here, the child over here. It captures the attention of Jesus Christ. And it's recorded for us in the Word of God. And this is what's so exciting. As I put myself in Jairus' situation, all of a sudden, the direction that Jesus is going begins to change. Now Jesus is walking step in step with Jairus. Jesus and Jairus are going, if you will, hand in hand together to the house of the man that had a need, the man that couldn't help himself, the man that couldn't help his daughter, the man whose position was unable to take care of the situation. He prayed to Jesus, got the attention of Jesus, and now I'm so excited. He's walking with me. And maybe tonight that's exactly where you're at. You're not out of the cave yet. You're not out of the rough waters yet. You're not out of a situation. This dark clouds are still lowering, but the sun is shining on the other side, because you know Jesus is walking with you each step of the way. And maybe that's your testimony tonight. With an eager anticipation, you are motivated to continue walking with God, because you know He's close. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And every step of the way, there's still a storm in your life. There's still a trial. There's still a persecution. But your God is walking with you. Praise the Lord for that. As I read verse 24, here's what I catch in this little verse. These are situations that receive the comfort of God's companionship. These are situations, though, that may be momentarily interrupted by another miracle. You ever, when you were young, and I say that from a perspective of a 34-year-old who just turned 34 last Sunday. Last Sunday was my birthday. When I was young, they had something called Saturday morning cartoons. And I don't know if they had tried to keep from this or not, but as a kid watching Bugs Bunny, because that's just what we did as a family, all of a sudden this would come on the screen. This is a test of the Emergency Broadcasting Association. And we as kids would try to jump in with that tone and sing it as long as we could until it was done, till we got blue in the face. Or we would get upset that our cartoon was interrupted. Could you imagine what Jairus was going through in this situation? All of a sudden, he's got the comfort of God's companionship, but in the middle of this story, there is another miracle that is mentioned. And we're not going to look at it in its entirety, but if you know it in your Bible, it's the story of the woman that had tried everything for 12 years. 12 also being the age of Jairus' daughter. For 12 years, this lady's tried everything with the issue of blood. She pushes through the crowd. She touches the hem of the garment of Jesus. And Jesus, knowing that virtue went out of him, said, "Who touched my garment?" And in this moment, everything stops for Jairus. Every step that is taken with God ceases for a moment. And I want to remind you that when our situations catch the attention of God, it's okay if God decides to put your miracle on hold. It's okay if God says, "My timing is best because I am not wrapped up in time. In fact, I am above time. To man, there is a season. In everything that we do and that we face, there's a time to die and a time to live, a time for war and a time for peace. But I tell you what, in God's understanding of who He is, He always was. And that's hard for us to fathom. But if God wants to stop right now and take care of somebody else, He can, because He's God. And that won't at all diminish what God is more than able to do for me or for you. Think about what's taking place. In these momentary interruptions of life, we need to learn to rejoice with those that rejoice. Oh, I remember what it was like. It was so tough for me as a pastor to stand before our church congregation. And you're going to say, tough? Why was this tough? It was so tough for me to stand before them and say, the fog has lifted. The clouds have disappeared. Rachel is with child. It was tough for me to make a statement of rejoicing when I had two other families in my church that were still praying for God to do something like that for them. My pastor's heart was breaking while it was rejoicing. It's a hard thing when you have a love for somebody and you're praying for somebody and God does something for you and He's yet to do it for them. But can I tell you, one of those couples, actually both of them, but one in particular was very, very, very sweet to us, that the Lord, even this past month, we received a text from them and they said, Brother Justin, Miss Rachel, we want you to be one of the first to know that God has answered our request as well. And my wife, my bride is with child. Listen, when God is going to do something for you and it's just not happening on your time, learn to rejoice with those that rejoice, because your God is not limited by an out of control, your control situation. Your God is not limited by time. Your God is more than able to move even when we don't think He can. So here's Jairus in the situation. Instead of saying in his watch, sundial? I don't know what it was. Instead of, oh, Lord, come on. Yeah, he's about to, come on. I don't really believe that he was handling it like that. I believe if you look at Jairus, you find a man who is seeing the miracles all around him that Jesus Christ was doing. And I really believe that the momentary interruption in his life only increased his faith to believe that God can. Instead of becoming bitter, we need to become better. We need to look at what God is doing and say, if God can do it for them, God can do it for me. You are no better than me. I am no better than you. But what a mighty God we serve tonight. And His timing is always the best. But I tell you, sometimes there's momentary interruptions. Somebody in church on Wednesday night raises their hand over here and says, guys, what we've been praying for months happens. It happened today. And God did it for me. And at that moment, somebody over here on this side of the church can get all up in arms, maybe against them, maybe against God. Maybe become a little bit bitter. Why hasn't He done that for me like He did for them? It's okay. God knows best in your situation. What has happened hasn't changed who He is. I am the Lord, God said. I change not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And even though it seems like America's growing darker and darker and more wicked and more wicked, and we know in the Word of God that these days shall come, we need to understand something. No matter how dark it gets, no matter how weak we become, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But oh, how all of the sudden we can have, number three, moments of hope darkened by bad news. Moments of hope darkened by bad news. Look at what it says in verse number 33. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. Verse 35. Notice the phrase. While he yet spake, Jesus is speaking to the woman. There came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Now, I don't know if this happened,
I don't know if that man began to cry, but that man heard some bad news in a moment of hope. And all of that hope was darkened at that very moment when that man from his house came and said, "Thy daughter is dead." Notice the rest of this verse. It says in verse number 35, "Why troublest thou the master any further?" Notice this. The bad news can convince us that there's no more need to cry out to Jesus anymore. Why trouble the master any further? And maybe you've had some bad news in your life that's taken place even today or earlier this week, and that bad news that you have heard has darkened the hope that you had. Can I remind you that bad news will always convince us there's no more need to seek God? But the Holy Spirit is going to convince us we need to keep seeking Him. We need to keep seeking the Lord. We need to follow after Him. And as I consider bad news that's happening in this man's life, let me make a statement that I came across. Don't let me die before I die. And don't let me quit before you are through. And there's some people who will allow bad news to strike their heart that causes them to die spiritually before they die physically. There will be some bad news that come across your life that causes you to quit for God and throw in the towel. So maybe the statement that you need to make in prayer is, "Dear Lord, don't let me die before I die, and don't let me quit before you are through." Here's a man that was walking step in step with God, excited at what was happening around him. "God's coming to my house. He's going to do something for my daughter. I just can't wait. He's going to lay his hands on my daughter and my daughter's going to be healed." And all of a sudden, after a great miracle, one from his own household gives him some bad news. Sometimes the bad news that you receive are from those who are closest to you. Sometimes those are those that you know the best, and the bad news tears you up. Maybe it's something they've said. Maybe it's something they've done. Maybe it's even a way that they have looked at you. But as I jump into the story again, the bad news was blocked by a voice that we call the Word of Life. Notice what takes place in verse number 35 and 36. "While he yet spake, there came one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, 'Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?'" Notice verse 36. "As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, 'Be not afraid.'" Only what, church? Believe. Isn't this amazing? That when Jesus knew the bad word that was come across, when Jesus knew the bad news that struck the mind of Jairus, Jesus did not turn to the messenger and say, "Nope, that's not right." Jesus turned to Jairus, the one who is in agony, the one who is mourning, the one who is facing loss. And Jesus said to Jairus, "Only believe." Hey, can I tell you, at those moments of your life when bad news hits, there's something that you desperately need in your life, and it is the voice of Almighty God. You need Him to whisper into your ears the word of truth. "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey unto my mouth. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." You need the voice of truth in your life to bat down the bad news that's going to strike you tonight or tomorrow or next week. Maybe it doesn't have to come from without, but maybe it rises up from within. And you convince yourself of lies that deceive your spiritual person. Let the voice of truth minister to you. Notice what it says in verse number 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And I love how Jesus uses it here. I love how Jesus is going to use it within the upper room after his death and burial and resurrection. I love how all throughout Isaiah, "Fear not, for I am with thee. Fear not, be not afraid." I love the message tonight. The message is, when bad news strikes your home, when there is a situation that is out of control, you don't have to fear. You don't have to be afraid. You can just believe that your God is still the same as He's always been and the same as He says He is. You can rest in Him. Notice what it says in verse number 37. "He suffered no man to follow him save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. He came up to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly." As we talk about these feelings of bad news, they can be dismissed by faith. But I want to introduce a fourth point, a last point. We can have situations where faith moves the master to work. At one time, it was a situation that caught the attention of God. And now it's a situation where we can see the master work in our life. And as I look at the rest of this story, I understand that I can have hope tonight, that I can have the God of heaven hear my cry, that He can minister unto my need, just like He ministered to the need of Jairus, that Jairus compassionately would bring before Jesus. Not everyone received the opportunity to be present for the miracle. Peter, James, and John, you're going to find the mother and the father are there with Jesus and the daughter. The Bible says in verse number 38, "When he cometh into the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly." This is a situation where pain and agony was very real. But notice, no situation was dead to Jesus, just sleeping. Look at what it says in verse number 39. "And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." Lydia Grace, she's 2 years old now, and she likes to pretend a lot. Two-year-olds, I love them. Two-year-olds, Lydia comes up and, okay, Daddy, go to sleep. And she'll do what I do to her when I go in after Mom's tried to put her down. Lydia Grace goes like this, okay, Daddy, close your eyes. Close your eyes. Okay. Close your eyes. Then she turns around and she walks slowly away, looks back. Love you. Then she comes in and she wakes me up. Daddy, it's time to get up. We're having a blast now on the road learning how to try to put a child from the crib to her own inflatable bed as we travel together when she's got a will of her own and it's starting to show. Here in Jesus' story that we look at with Jairus and his daughter, there's a situation where the daughter, the damsel, has died. But here's the compassion in the understanding for the parents of the scenario that to Jesus, this young lady wasn't dead. It was just sleeping. And here's our encouragement tonight. When we feel that something is dead in this life, something that no man could ever make better, and that maybe even God could never touch, we must understand those aren't dead to Him. Those are situations that may be sleeping. And it takes me back to a boat that's rocking in the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is asleep on the pillow. And there are the disciples. For fear, they are crying out. The winds are coming from every single side of that little ship, but Jesus is still sleeping. And finally, they cry out to the Master, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And he arose and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And there was a great calm. The rocking of the boat couldn't wake Jesus up. The rain splashing his face didn't wake him up. The one thing that woke Jesus up in the midst of the turmoil of those disciples was the prayer of his disciples that asked Jesus to do something on their behalf. And then after the situation is done, Jesus says something like this, "Why were you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" Here's what we would do just like them. "Jesus, come on. The boat's gonna go down, or it was. And we're in this situation where the only thing that we know to do is to reach for our manly means and take care of our ship. It was not something that would require us to believe that we're going to be okay, because every sign was saying we won't be okay. But Jesus still said, why are you so scared? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Listen, this is something that is not easy to come to. But yet the reason why we can come to it is because we have God's Word on it. We don't have to be afraid. We can believe. We don't have to be scared to death. We can have faith. Why? Because of the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as we consider the importance of seeking Him tonight, these out-of-control situations need to put the doubt out. Look at verse 40. The Bible says, and they laughed Him to scorn, but when He had put them all out, He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and of them that were with Him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. After these that laughed Him to scorn were put out, that's when Jesus began to do something that only Jesus could do. Pause right here real quick. Matthew 13, the very last verse of Matthew 13. And you've got to see it and understand the truth of our day is still the same. Just like it was in Jesus' day, it was the same in Israel's day where they limited the Holy One of Israel. In Jesus' day, in Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 58, you find that the Word of God says, and He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. I want to ask you a question. Are you binding the hands of God behind His back because of your lack of faith? Brother Justin, God is a mighty God. He can do whatever He wants to. Then why does the Bible say in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, that they, His own people, limited the Holy One of Israel? Why does it say in Matthew 13:58 that He could not do in His hometown there many mighty works because of their unbelief? And why does it say right here in Mark chapter 5, as you turn back to, that before He could do it, He had to put out the doubt, He had to put out the scorn, He had to put out the mock. He needed people who believed that He could, and therefore He would, and He did. Can I encourage you tonight to take Hebrews 11 and put it to practice? By faith, I'll step out. By faith, I'll believe God for this. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. A persuasion, an anchoring on the living God that He can and that He will. And here as they're in that room, He does something that only He could do. He says, arise in verse number 42. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. I was telling somebody earlier about our 2005 Toyota Prius that the Lord gave us in 2008 for traveling and evangelism the first time. If you ever hear me refer to it, I'll refer to it as E1, evangelism the first time. That Toyota Prius was given to us with 48,000 miles on it. We have since put on just about 300 of our own 1,000 miles on that vehicle. It has been a great car. It once got 50 miles to the gallon, but the past few years, it's gotten 43. It's dropped. And this is where you say the world's smallest violin is playing you a tune, preacher. But listen to the story. 346,000 miles later, the batteries are growing weaker, we believe, and the gas mileage is dropping. And the past few months, as we've stepped out in faith, the gas mileage has gone back up to 50. I didn't make it do that. If I could make it do that, I would have made it do that a long time ago. He can. I can't explain it, but all I can do is praise Him for it. I don't know what God's got for our future. I'm praying for revival. I'm praying for souls saved. I'm asking God for great and mighty things, believing that He can. I am asking God to restore us and revive us again. And this passage gives me encouragement to understand that whatever out of control situation our world, our nation, our communities, our families, our churches, our individuals may have, we have a God who's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. And look at verse 43 as we end. And he charged them straitly, saying that no man should know it. And I'm just encouraged tonight to know this. My God wasn't going around trying to make a name for himself because he already had a name for himself. It was the great I Am, the ever-present one, the Almighty God. And here he says, you don't have to bother telling people about me. But notice what his concern was at the end of verse 43. And commanded that something should be given her to eat. What's the big deal of that? God isn't just as concerned as doing big things as he's also concerned of doing even the little things for you daily that you need. Go get that 12-year-old some food. What 12-year-old girl doesn't like that, right? And here this girl has been through so much. And yet Jesus cares about her continuance even after something so great has been done for her. Maybe tonight you have an out-of-control situation. Family, physical, financial, a situation of faith. Can we seek the Lord greatly? Isaiah said it like this, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and he will abundantly pardon. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Do you believe that tonight? I know he wants to work in your situation. Let's seek him. Let's pray together. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, as we bow before you tonight, we want to rest in you and trust you for our situations. And we want to pray, Lord, that you would minister to them as only you can. And we're just asking that we would get a glimpse of the power that you are. Maybe our situation seems so dead. Maybe we just never could ever fathom that individual getting saved or whatever the case may be. But I pray that you would speak to our situation, arise, and that you would teach us that we may be able to rejoice in you being the God of